Hey kids, this week's beverage is a nice glass of Glenfiddich Neat. Oh yeah, that has such a nice burn going down. It is so smooth. Okay, with all the hoopla about the Swift Boat vets and their attempt at their follow-up to the McCain smear of 2000 with the great Kerry smear job of 04, I'd like to tell you a little story about my parents. My dad was born in Groesbeck, Texas in 1921. He enlisted in the Army and was sent to serve in Italy during World War II. My mom was born in San Antonio in 1925, and when she was 17, she lied about her age to get into the WACS because both her older sisters had enlisted, and that was where all the boys were and the only place to meet men. While in Italy as a sergeant, my dad was involved in a particularly nasty skirmish, and as he was trying to save his buddy, who had been wounded by a grenade, his buddy stepped on a mine, and my dad awoke 2 months later in a military hospital in North Africa. It was my favorite story, especially the way my dad told it. He said that when he woke up, there were all these doctors standing around him, and one of them leans over and says, "What's your name, soldier?" And then my dad told them, and they all turned to each other in disbelief and began talking rapidly amongst themselves for a minute or two, and then the same doctor asked him, "What day is it?" So my dad now thinks, well, obviously I've been wounded pretty bad since I'm in a military hospital, and these guys are asking me what day it is, so I guess I've probably been unconscious for a couple days. So he takes a wild guess and says, "The 22nd. At which point the doctors began their heated dialogue again, and then one doctor leans forward and says, "What month?" At which point my dad simply says, "Oh, shit." Due to his wounds, my dad had lost hearing in one ear and suffered amnesia for 2 months. And because amnesia was then treated more like a mental illness than a result of severe trauma, he was honorably discharged, shipped back to a base in San Antonio, and was an outpatient in the hospital's mental ward. My parents met at a USO dance in June, and a month later they were married. My mom used to say she fell in love with somebody from the loony bin. The Army found out that my mother had lied about her age and enlisted when she was 17, and even though she was 18 at the time, they also gave her an honorable discharge. They were Texas Democrats who moved to California for the building boom. They had given up on having kids since they lost their first child, who had Down syndrome, 3 years after they were married, to pneumonia, and my mother had a miscarriage several years later. Then, one Labor Day weekend, they ran to Reno for a getaway and apparently had a really good time. I was born 9 months later. They loved California not only because it was a land of great opportunity, but it was also a land of tolerance. They raised me to believe that everyone was equal and that race, religion, and sex had no bearing on the goodness and potential of a person. When I was little, I wanted to grow up and be a racehorse jockey, and they never once said to me that I couldn't because I was a girl. Unfortunately, my height took care of that little dream by the time I was 12. Because of his wounds, my dad earned a Purple Heart, but he never received it. I wanted to surprise him for his 70th birthday and get it for him, but unfortunately, his records were destroyed in the Great National Personnel Records Center fire in 1973, so I was never able to. He didn't really care. His greatest reward was meeting my mom. I remember watching the Vietnam War on television when I was little. I also remember my dad constantly saying that he hated that our boys were over there for no damn reason. He also loved the fact that he lived in a country where people who disagreed with the government's actions were free to protest and supported the anti-war movement wholeheartedly, even though most of the protesters were long-haired hippies. It's funny. It was the hair that bugged him, not their message. I lost my mom the day after Thanksgiving in 1999, 10 days after she had triple bypass surgery. It was really hard. My dad suffered from Alzheimer's and she was his caregiver. He followed her 6 months later, a victim of that horrific disease, and, I don't doubt, a broken heart. They're both buried at Arlington National Cemetery here in California. And it was very difficult to be presented with two flags so close together. I miss them like crazy. My mom welcomed everyone into her home and treated them like family. Hell, she never told me she didn't like one of my boyfriends until after we broke up. And my dad could grill a steak like nobody else. And he used to beat everyone at Trivial Pursuit all in one turn. I mean, no one else even got to roll the dice. I do miss them. But one thing I'm so thankful for, I am so glad they aren't around to see these swift boat assholes who are trashing Carrie. I'm pretty sure they would have taken it the same way I know other vets are, as a personal attack on all veterans by lying, partisan hacks. Especially veterans like Carrie, who enlisted and then requested a second tour of duty. That's all for this week. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
Recently, I mentioned that I was working cleaner than Jay Leno, and I say that because Jay Leno said that with the civil suit in Colorado, Kobe Bryant's accuser is going to bend him over a chair. I thought that was in rather poor taste. Looks like I'm working cleaner than Jon Stewart, too. Kind of amazing that he said this on broadcast TV or whatever you call basic cable.
John Kerry built it and they came. The senator stumped in the swing state of Missouri to target rural voters.
It's particularly important as we're out here on a farm to think about the possibilities of America's future. A war on terror, where much of the focus of that war is in the Middle East. Guess what else is in the Middle East? Oil. We import about 61% of the oil that we consume in America. God only gave us 3% of the world's oil reserves.
F***ing God.
I'm telling you, that guy's got it in for us. Remember that Hanukkah when I lit the extra? All right. But the president wasn't about to let a Democrat in blue jeans out Buddy Lee, a Texan like himself. And that's why Friday night, viewers of the Outdoor Life Network were able to see this.
Today we're going to bass fish in Crawford, Texas with a very special guest, President George W. Bush.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, and quite a fisherman too.
Yes, our commander-in-chief showed why a professional fisherman gets better access to him than the Washington Press Corps by appearing on Fishing with Roland Martin. And no fishing trip would be complete without fish stories.
The president caught a nice crappie, and Barney, I don't know if he
licked it.
I'm assuming Barney is the president's dog.
Barney likes to be a part of the fishing experience. Of course, then we put it in a bucket so we can eat it.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes I'll hit the fish in the head with a rock. Or I'll have one of the girls shoot it. Barney will laugh. Alas, the afternoon ended all too abruptly.
Boy, have I had a great time today fishing with the president. The president had to take off for some important business.
I'll bet the important business the president had to attend to was a fundraiser for a bunch of Saudi billionaires at his Crawford Ranch. Now see, when it's important, he can pull himself away from the photo op if it's something as important as raising money. But let's say, oh, I don't know, America's under attack, simultaneous airplanes crashing into skyscrapers bringing them down in New York, that's not worth breaking off a photo op. No, George sits there and reads the damn goat story when that happens. But if it's a fundraiser, well, now he's up and out of here right away. Fool me once, tell you, won't get fooled again.
After a long search, the state Republican Party announced conservative radio host and 2000 presidential candidate Alan Keyes was its choice to run for Senate against Democrat Barack Obama. Keyes is a resident of Gaithersburg, which, for those of you trying to locate it on a map of Illinois, is in Maryland. Although, to be fair, This is hardly the first time someone's run for Senate in a state they don't call home. Hillary Clinton, for instance, won the New York Senate seat in 2000. It's not as if Alan Keyes had a problem with that.
I deeply resent the destruction of federalism represented by Hillary Clinton's willingness to go into a state she doesn't even live in and pretend to represent people there. So I certainly wouldn't imitate it.
Not imitating.
I read or saw an interview with Keyes after that quote surfaced. And notice once again, it's John Stewart that came up with the quote. The Democratic Party can't figure out how to do this. The networks can't figure out how to do this. The talking TV Nazis, they can't figure out how to do this. John Stewart came up with a quote from Alan Keyes. John Stewart seems to be leading the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is so entirely lost without John Stewart. If it wasn't for John Stewart, we wouldn't know half the things we know. People are getting their news from John Stewart. You know, when you turn on the networks or the cable channels, they're just going to effing lie to you. They're just going to tell you how great Bush is, how great the economy is, how we're winning the war on terror, and hand job after hand job of bullshit. And then here comes John Stewart, the comedian, telling us the truth, bringing up the facts, bringing up the points that the Democrats can't seem to muster. Oh, what is wrong with our Democrats? We know what's wrong with the press. They're for sale. The Democrats are just, what, afraid? Stupid? Can't think? What's the Democrats' excuse? I'll tell you how much trouble they're in. I should be their boss. If I was running the DNC, Kerry would be ahead right now. And the funny thing about this Keyes quote, he never had a problem with Hillary going to another state to run for office. No, it was the destruction of federalism. That's the principle on which he objected to Hillary getting a job in New York. The destruction of federalism. I don't even know what that means.
Illinois Republicans had a hard time finding someone willing to take on the charismatic Obama. And as Tim Russert pointed out to Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert, the Republicans came up with an interesting choice.
But it gives the impression that Barack Obama, a black state senator from Illinois, Democrat, you went to Maryland to find a black to run against the Democratic.
That's low. Go, you know what? Go ahead, Dennis. You smack that kind of knee-jerk cynicism. Write down.
I'll tell you what. I was out of time when it happened.
And here's how.
Topeka, Kansas. Hello.
Bill, what do you think about Bush and Cheney not testifying under oath before the commission, even though there's not a precedent for that? Wouldn't it have given them a much-needed credibility?
Should they have gone under oath?
And again, what about having to testify together? It's holding this president to a lower standard. They constantly do it. It's the same thing I was just talking about with it took him 7 minutes to get up. I can't imagine any other president, any other person who would be president, not being able to get up. Max Cleland would have gotten up if the aide had said the country is under attack. It's the same thing. What other president would get away with saying, no, I've got to be with my vice president, you know, because when I get one right, he gives me a biscuit. And this is why religion is so dangerous in our society. Because George Bush is not just a Christian. He's a born again. They believe Jesus is coming back any day now. And they want everything to be perfect for him. They call it the rapture, right?
Well, why is that bad?
Well, Thomas Jefferson said the book of Revelations was the ravings of a lunatic. George Bush organizes his foreign policy around it. That's why it's bad, because his decisions about Israel are affected by his religious beliefs.
I mean, the Christ is coming back to Israel.
Jesus is coming back, and he's not coming back to Toledo, Larry. He's coming back to his home, which is Jerusalem, which has to be in Jewish hands, because the Jews have a very important role to play when Jesus comes back, which is, of course, to be dead, because there can't be any Jews around.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, this is scary stuff because it's completely irrational. It's like half this country wants to guide our ship of state by a compass, something that works by science and rationality and imperial wisdom. And half this country wants to kill a chicken and read the entrails like they used to do in the old Roman Empire.
and I'm with the Compass people.
Well, the monkey got caught, and you know, when the monkey gets caught, it's very embarrassing. I somewhere had the date of this, but and it was in July, seems like July 8th, he was at some college. And somehow, some tricky student, probably a C student like old Dub, snuck in and asked Bush a question that any third grader ought to be able to answer. You know, you can always tell when someone has no idea what the definition of a word is when they use that word again and again to describe the definition of the word they don't know. So this fellow asked Bush a question, could you please explain this, and listen to the monkey stumble. Eventually, the crowd, you know, there's this tension in there. They're kind of waiting for, you know, is this a joke? Is there a punchline here? And finally, they just laugh because they just can't believe their president can be this stupid.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century, and how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that it's sovereign. It's, you've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Okay.
And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
The poor monkey, he just doesn't have a clue. Unless Condi or Uncle Dick is there to write a script for him, he just has no clue at all. I doubt he can tell you anything about baseball. Do you know anything about anything, George? Is there a subject that you can talk on for more than maybe 30 seconds in this world? Have you ever spoken about something that sounded like you knew what you were talking about? I'm not Mr. Graceful Public Speaker myself, as you can tell. But somewhere, if you scratch deep enough, I might know something about something. You can't stump me 100 out of 100 times, George. Jesus, I can't believe they handed you this job. Could you work a fry machine at McDonald's if you had to, Smirk? Could you figure it out? Would they have you in the emergency room the first day with burns over 90% of your body? No, you don't get the fries out with your tongue, George. You don't get the fries out with your teeth. You don't bob for fries, George. Take him to the hospital. Jesus, why did Mr. Bush make us hire his son? Found a piece of old videotape that you can't see because this is radio. But you might be able to hear it. It's a little old, it's a little crackly. It's from the probably early to mid-60s. It's Cassius Clay explaining to you the difference between white and black. Now, this is, don't know if it was before or after 65 when they had the civil rights. I think he won the gold in 60. So no telling where this is, but this is old black and white footage. Cassius Clay, could be Muhammad Ali, I just don't know. I just ran into it, I was switching channels, I saw him barking on the TV, and in his prime, he was probably the best barker that I've ever seen. The fastest talker, the slickest talker you ever saw. Anyway, this is the champ explaining the differences between white and black. And even though it comes off as a comedy, you know he really means it. Check him out.
See, we have been brainwashed. Everything good in the authority was made white. We look at Jesus, we see a white with brown hair and blue eyes. We look at all the angels, we see white with brown hair and blue eyes. Now, I'm sure if there's a heaven in the sky and the color folks die and go to heaven, where are the colored angels? They must be in the kitchen preparing the milk and honey. We look at Miss America, we see white. We look at Miss World, we see white. We look at Miss Universe, we see white. Even Tarzan, the king of the jungle in back Africa, he's white.
And as his audiences responded with more and more fervor, as he hammered his points home more and more effectively, then indeed it began to seem that in this one rich personality was embodied that tricky, tragic, explosive decade, the 60s.
White owl cigar. White swan soap. King white soap, white cloud tissue paper, white rain hair rinse, white tornado flow wax, white plus toothpaste. All the good cowboys ride the white horses. White. The White House. fruit cake is the white cake, but the devil fruit cake is the chocolate cake.
And you know, I noticed there's a difference in funerals. Like, white people have funerals. They love their dearly departed, but their funerals be different. They don't give it up easy. You know, they hold their shit in until they get home. Maybe they go, they faint. They get at a funeral. Black people let it hang out right off. Wah! Then they fall on your ass. They don't never faint. They just lean on your ass. You got to carry them to the car and just say, bitch, get up. Damn. You got to kill me because that motherfucker dead? My grandmother could yell like that, scare the shit out of you at a funeral, right? My father, she said, wow, chicken, help me. I said, shit, what's the matter, mama? I thought maybe he raised up or something, you know? She did that voice, made me stop snorting cocaine. She pulled that shit on me. She said, what's that you doing, boy? I said, cocaine, mama. She said, whoa, Jesus, happy, go kill me, God, go kill me, go kill me, God, go kill me. I said, mama, don't do that shit. Look, I'm slowing it up. Look, mama, I'm putting it down the toilet. $1,600 worth of shit. She found out how much it cost. She got mad. You dumb motherfucker. You could have sold some of that shit back to the man you got it from. Told you that shit make you ignorant. You know, my grandma would discipline me. I mean, beat my ass. I deserved them too. She used to beat my ass. Remember them switches you used to have to go get yourself to beat your own ass with? And they had them leaves on you. I'd go. I see them trees today. I stop the car and get out the car to kill that motherfucker. Right? I see where I say, you won't grow up, you motherfucker. Because that was some hell of a psychology, right? To make you go get a switch to beat your own ass with. Right? My grandma said, boy, go get me something to beat your ass with. And that would be the longest walk in the world. Yeah, you'd be the one. And you knew you couldn't come back with no little one either. Because if you come back with a little one, she's going out there and get the tree and beat your ass with it. Right, you'd be going in the house, that vine makes such a weird sound in your ear, you'd be doing, it make you start crying before you get in the house. Right? Mama! Mama, I won't do it no more, mama! Mama, please, mama, I won't do it no more, mama! And like I said, my mama would beat my ass with anything, right? Like, she'd take them old douchebag pipes. You remember them old long red cars? On them big fat douchebags. You remember my grandmother used to call them a hot water bottle. Used to hang in the bathroom on a coat hanger. Smell like vinegar. Boy, she'd rip that bar off and tear your ass up. And I'd always try to go to sleep to get out of ass whooping, right? You know, I'd pass up supper and everything, ease in the covers, say, well, shit, I got it made. She'd wake your ass up 1 a.m. Get your ass off that bed. Don't you run from me. Don't you ever run from me. As long as you black, don't you run from me.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at bartcop.com. Keep keeper of the Democratic jewels.
Well, there you had it, Show 51. A little more passion than usual, maybe? Sometimes we just get in a bad mood and we just don't care, especially when it comes down to the F.U. John Ashcroft. We just don't care. You want to lock me up and take me to Cuba? Fine. Just kidding. So, that was 51. Hope you liked it. I'll get to work on Show 52. Thanks to you subscribers keeping things going. We're going to try to make things better and better. And remember, we got a Republican convention coming up. Let's keep an eye on that because we might do something special for that. Let's hope we can get the technology worked out. You know, the Democrat convention was fine. That was all good. We liked hearing it. But there was nothing much I could do with it. Now, the Republican convention, now you're talking about three lies a minute spread over, what, 12 hours? What's that, 46,000 lies? Yeah, we might have a bunch of comedy coming up here at the end of August. So stay tuned, hang in there, Bart out.
As your bony fingers close around me, long it's been that death becomes me. Heaven, can you see what I see? Hey, you pale and sick of charge, you're deaf and living reconciled. Been walking home a crooked mile. It's a karma, your body for a living. What you take won't kill you, but care for what you're giving. There's no time for hesitating. Pain is ready, pain is waiting. Primed to do its educating. I'm wanted, uninvited, kin. It creeps beneath your crawling skin. It lives without, it lives within you. Feel the fever coming, you're shaking and twitching. You can scratch all over, but that won't stop you itching. Take won't kill you, but care for what you're giving.